together. So if you're watching us this morning and you are a Christian and you know the Lord in your life, we just invite you to come and join with us in communion, in taking the bread and the wine, the juice, and just celebrating what Jesus has done for us on the cross. This is a precious moment where Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we're just going to remember what Jesus did. What did he do? He went to the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He was crucified for you. He was crucified for us all. He bled and died on the cross. He came to save us from sin, from Satan, and a lost eternity. Praise God that Jesus came. So we're going to remember the Lord right now as we break bread and take the wine together, remembering the broken body of Jesus was broken for you and the blood of Jesus was poured out for you. So Father, we thank you for these emblems. We thank you for the bread, Lord, representing the body of the Lord Jesus, the broken body of Jesus that was broken on the cross. We say thank you, Father, for this beautiful emblem, Father, of the body of Christ. And Father, we take this morning thanking you, Lord, for the broken body of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's take and eat and thank the Lord for this broken body this morning, the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said he was the bread of life. He's the bread that comes down from heaven, that feeds our soul, that feeds us. We are partaking in the presence of God and remembering his broken body, broken on the cross to save us. Hallelujah. We also remember the precious blood of Jesus poured out on the cross of Calvary. That blood that was spattered and broken, burst open for you. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus shed his blood so you could be forgiven. You could be cleansed. And just examine your heart right now as we come into the presence of the Lord, thanking him for the blood of Jesus, asking him to cleanse you today with that precious blood. Asking the Lord to do a fresh work in your heart today. Let's take the juice, wine, representing the precious blood of Jesus, and thank him for his cleansing power. There's life in the blood of Jesus. Thank him today. That blood cleanses us from all sin. Just worship you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your presence. We just thank you that you went all the way to the cross. You didn't back out, Lord. You didn't decide, no, I've got a better way. You just went through with what the Father wanted you to go through with. And that was total suffering, total pain, total agony, total separation. So thank you, Jesus, that you went the whole way. And because you went the whole way, Lord, you brought total freedom into our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You went to the cross. And you brought freedom, love, joy, peace, blessing into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that through your blood there is cleansing from sin. We just worship you today, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Christ, Father. Thank you, Lord, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just honor the Lord's presence with us today. And I want to pray for you. Pray the Lord will just bless you today and ask him to be near to you. Father, I thank you for everybody listening today. I pray that you will draw near to our hearts as we unite our hearts in prayer together. Father, we just pray that your presence will be strong, that your presence will be a reality to us. Lord, we just ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to draw near to everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice. Father, draw near to us as we take communion, as we worship you with this, with these emblems, Lord, and say, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body and your precious blood. Bless all who are listening with your presence, with your love, with your power, with refreshing and with renewing. Father, we just thank you this morning that we can come into the very presence of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We adore you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for the victory it brings into our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you today. And we just worship you. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give you praise, Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to just continue to pray for a few moments before I bring the word of God to you this morning. And just pray for the nation, pray for our leaders, pray for those in authority, and just ask the Lord to bless us this morning. Let's continue to pray together. Father, we thank you for your protection through the coronavirus. And Lord, we just pray that, Father, you will continue to shield us and save us from this virus. Lord, we just pray that deliverance will come in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you will continue to shield us. We pray for our leaders, Father. We pray for those who are struggling in hospital right now with this virus. Father, we just ask you to bless them, bring healing into our hospitals through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, send your mighty angels, your healing angels, Father, into our hospitals. Save and deliver and heal those who are afflicted with coronavirus. Lord, we look to you. You are the God of gods. You're the Lord of lords. You're the God who brings healing. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, you will just bring deliverance for our nation, deliverance for our world, that you will protect us through this virus, that you will shield us, Lord. And Father, just thank you for healing Boris Johnson. Continue to pray for our leader of our nation, that you will bless him, Lord, with the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. Bless all our leaders, all those in Parliament. Father, we just pray, pour out your Spirit upon those in Parliament in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray you bless the royal family, bless the Queen, Father. Let your Holy Spirit be poured out in the royal family and all our politicians. Let them govern wisely. Let them govern with the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. We just commit them to you now. Thank you, Lord, for all our leaders. We thank you also for our national leaders, Father, in Elam. Bless Chris Cartwright, our general superintendent. Bless all the national leadership. Bless all our leaders in Elam and across the churches in the United Kingdom. And pour out your Spirit on the churches. And Father, may we be a light shining in a dark place right now. We pray that we will shine for you, Lord Jesus. We just look to you, Father. We look to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your strength. Pour out your Spirit on this land. Heal us, we pray, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to bring the word of God to you this morning. I'm just going to turn this down a little bit, this microphone, just a touch. And thank you for joining with us this morning. Great to have communion together. By faith, we believe you are there this morning. We're just the two of us here in the church building, worshiping the Lord by faith. We know you are listening and connecting with us through Facebook and other ways, through live stream and through the internet. You can always find us on the internet under Chippenham Christian Fellowship. So thank you for uniting with us this morning and sharing with us in the things of God. We're just excited about what God is doing in the world today in spite of the virus. There is great turmoil, there is great distress, there is great turmoil across our world. But I think it's really important that we keep focused on what God is doing and not just on the virus, because God always is at work. Amen. God is always working. Praise God. We are not alone. The Lord Jesus is always working. So we just want to continue to pray. I know there's repentance on behalf of the land. I know there's a lot of prayer going on right now. So we just thank God for all of that. Through the crisis, God brings Christ. Amen. For every crisis, we need a Christ. There's always a solution to the problem we're in. There's always a solution to the world's problem. And the solution is found in Jesus Christ. And my text for you today is found in the first epistle of John. And that is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. And it simply is this verse here. And it says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." It's quite a dividing verse. If you've got Christ, you've got life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. What does that Bible verse mean? What does it mean? I'm going to try and explain a little bit to you this morning about the importance of that verse. That verse was written thousands of years ago, but it is still very relevant for us today. I don't know if you've heard the story about the wealthy art dealer, and he had a beautiful collection of paintings in his home, and he had beautiful Rembrandts and Turner and Van Goghs, and he had collected paintings from all over the world. Both he and his son shared the same love of art, and he had a fantastic collection and was admired by many people across the world. And the son became of age and was called up into the forces, had to go and fight for his country, and while he was away, he was tragically killed whilst fighting in the war. Unbeknown to the father at the time, he had built a friendship, the son had built a friendship with another person, and the friend had actually drawn a painting of the soldier before he died. He'd drawn a painting of him. And after the war, this friend came back to the father and paid his respects for his son who had died, but he also brought this painting, and it was a painting of his son. And it was so precious to the father, the beautiful how he had captured the personality of his son and how he had just brought this painting as a gift. He offered him money for the painting. Of course, the son said, "No, I cannot do that. Your son actually saved me in the war. He saved many people, and he actually came to my rescue. And this is a free gift to you. I'm not expecting anything for it." And so he gave it to the father, and the father cherished the painting. And sometime later, the father died. And then this beautiful collection of paintings was going for sale. The beautiful Rembrandts, Van Goghs, and beautiful paintings that were renowned across the world. And they were going up for auction. And so as they went to auction these beautiful paintings, the first painting to go was the painting of the sun. And so they presented that to the auctioneer. It was the first painting on the list. He said, "If you'd like to buy the painting of the sun, anybody offers here this morning." Nobody wanted the painting of the sun. Nobody was interested. It wasn't a famous painting. It wasn't a Rembrandt. It wasn't a Van Gogh. It wasn't a Turner. It wasn't any of those famous paintings. But he insisted, "Please, somebody please make an offer. Can somebody offer £20? Nobody offered. They began to grumble amongst themselves and say, "Look, just get on with the sale today. We just want to buy these beautiful paintings." But the auctioneer insisted, "No, you've got to buy the son's painting. This is the first painting to go." And finally, one of the workers put up his hands, who knew the son. He said, "Yes, I'll buy the painting for £10." And so the worker came forward, paid his money, bought the painting. And then the auctioneer, to the stunning to the stun of all the people, said, the auction is now over. They just couldn't believe it. They said, well, what about all of these beautiful paintings? And he says, I want you to know that today, that whoever gets the sun gets everything. And what had happened was this man, this worker who had known the sun, had worked on the estate, he had bought the painting of the sun, but now he had inherited all the others. So the moral of this story was, you know, he who gets the sun gets everything. He who gets the sun gets all the paintings, gets all the blessings, gets everything that goes with it. And this is really a great story for us. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it's a great story for us to realize that if we get the sun, then we get everything else. And that's precisely what happens here in 1 John 5, verse 12, is that he who has the sun has life, and he who does not have the sun does not have life. So I want to say to you today, if you've got Jesus, you've got everything. If you've got Jesus, you've got the Son of God. If you've got Jesus, then you get the whole package with Jesus. You know, and in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, he who did not withhold his own son, will he not freely along with him give us all things? You see, people are chasing after many things in life. People are chasing after money. That is one of the gods of our world. You know, Jesus actually said, you cannot serve God and money. You know, a lot of people are chasing the money. They want to build bigger barns. They want to have something bigger and better. They want to have, you know, a cushy pension at the end of their life. So they're chasing the money all the time. They're not chasing God. They're not pursuing the Lord, and they're not chasing him. And so what's happening is that they're chasing the things. They don't have the Son of God, but he who does have the Son has life. And so this is a real challenge to us in our world today, is that God wants us to find the Son. I don't know if you remember, there's a number of parables Jesus told about the man who had found the pearl of great price. He went and sold everything he had to get and buy this pearl of great price because he knew it was priceless. He knew it was worth so much money. He sold everything. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. You know, is that we've got to be prepared to give up everything to follow Jesus. We've got to be prepared to give up our lives. Jesus put it like this. He said, unless a grain of wheat dies in the ground, it will not produce another crop. The grain has to fall into the ground. It has to die in the soil. And in the process of dying, it actually comes back to life and produces a new plant and produces a new crop. And Jesus said that if we want to follow him, we've got to die to self. We've got to die to the things that we want to do, and we have to embrace him. Actually put it like this, that, you know, he who loves his life will lose his life. But, you know, if you lose your life for the sake of Jesus, you will find the true life. Now, Jesus also said in John 10 and verse 10, a very famous, very, very well-known verse, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. So the word that's used there for life is the word Zoe, which is the God kind of life. I've come to give you an abundant life. I've come to give you a life that is so full, so abundant, so rich, so blessed, so full of life, that you will just be amazed when you look back at your own life and you thought that you had life. But now that you've met the Son, you realize that God has opened up so many new doors for you. Since you found Jesus, he's opened up so many new avenues for you in your life. He's opened up rivers of joy in your heart. He's opened up new love for him and love for others that you never had. He's opened up a beautiful peace in your mind. He's opened up new gates, the gates of righteousness that have opened up for you. It's the gates through which the righteous may enter. And suddenly, as you enter through those gates of righteousness, you realize that God has got more and more and more and more and more blessings for you. There's so many that we could not recount them. In fact, David says in the Psalms, I tried to remember all the things that God had done for me, but I couldn't count them up. They were way too many. Maybe this morning you just need to take check of your life and go back over your life and realize when the times when God has saved you, when God has protected you, when God has provided for you, when the Lord has taken care of you, when you were feeling down, He lifted you up. When you were discouraged, He brought someone to bring a word of encouragement to you. All the times, all the things, all the blessings that God has brought into your life. And sometimes we easily forget those things. And it's good to remind ourselves what God has done. So let us think for a few minutes about all of the things, all of the blessings that God is going to open up for you. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's so important that you make a decision to accept Christ into your life, to make Him Lord and Savior of your life, because God is going to bring new riches into your life. Now, people are looking to natural riches. They're looking to money in the bank. They're looking for gold. They're looking for riches, that things that this world can buy. But friends, there are riches that are even stronger and even better than that. What are some of those riches? Jesus said, "He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You see, Jesus said that even though we die, we will continue to live on. He's talking about eternal life. Okay, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but have everlasting life." In fact, in this passage in John, 1 John chapter 5, he says, "I write these things to you so that you might know that you have eternal life." So what is greater than physical wealth? What is greater than the wealth that the world offers? The greatest thing is to receive God into your life. If you've got God, you've got everything. If you've got Jesus, you've got everything. He who has the Son has life. Now, the word life can be actually described as vitality. It's the God kind of life. It's a life that is so full, so abundant, so rich. It doesn't mean that you're never going to face a problem again. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face a trial again or go through difficult seasons. You know, even David in Psalm 23 said, "Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, I will fear no evil." That doesn't mean he's not going to go through that valley. Sometimes we go through the valleys, the difficult times. But God is going to enlarge your heart. He's going to bring new things into your life. He's going to bring new gifts into your life. He's going to bring blessings into your life. The Bible speaks about the river of God. And so this is referring to the Holy Spirit, is that when the Spirit comes, and we're just 2 weeks away from Pentecost in the Christian calendar, when the Holy Spirit came into our world with great force and with great power. And this Holy Spirit represents the river of God. And Jesus said, "The river of God is within you and is going to burst out of you." Amen? The river of God is in you. It's going to burst out of you. What is it? Well, praise God, we used to sing about this river in Zimbabwe. We used to sing a song. "There's a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk. It makes the blind to see. There's a river of life flowing out from me." Friends, you've got supernatural power at work in your life. You've got Jesus Christ at work in your life. It's the river of God. It's the Spirit of God. And He wants to come out and heal the people. He wants to come out of you. He wants that river. Jesus said, rivers of living water will flow out of you and begin to heal the sick and begin to raise the dead and begin to minister to those who are discouraged and minister to people. You have to let the Spirit of God come out of you. He's in there. You have to release Him. God has not called you just to live a religious life. Amen. He hasn't called you just to be a normal Christian. God doesn't want just lukewarm Christians. Amen. He wants dynamic Christians. He wants people full of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God who are going to make a difference in our world. We thank God for those disciples. We thank God for men of God and women of God that we read about. We're inspired by their stories. But friends, they paid the price. They paid the price by studying the Word. They paid the price in the presence of God. And they went out and they did great and mighty things. God is calling you to do great and mighty things in your community. And friends, one of the worst enemies we have is passivity. It's just inactivity. We're just sitting back and thinking, you know, when is this going to happen? When is God going to move?
And the thing is, I love what Smith Wigglesworth says, if the Spirit doesn't move me, I move the Spirit. In other words, you've got to step out in faith. God's going to be there. God's going to use your hands. God's going to use your brain. He's going to use your feet. He's going to use your creative ideas. He's going to use you as you walk across the street, as you walk across the street to see your neighbor and just greet him and have a word for him. Do you see, the Holy Spirit is going to give you a whole new dimension. The Holy Spirit is going to bring amazing gifts into your life. There are incredible gifts and fruit that God has for you. These are gifts that are for the church. These are gifts of miracles, signs, wonders, miracles. These are gifts of the Spirit that manifest to bring a need to a person. And God is wanting these gifts to be released. He does not want the church to be apathetic. He does not want the church to be lukewarm. He does not want our lives to be passive or lukewarm or inactive. He wants you to be a ball of fire for him. Amen. You can be a ball of fire for the Lord. What does the Bible say? Our God is a consuming fire. That's awesome. God is a consuming fire. He is in you. The fire of the Holy Spirit is going to burn in you. It's going to create a passion for God so that you cannot wait to get into the presence of God. You cannot wait to worship Jesus. You cannot wait when you get up every day to sing his praises, to thank him and to bless him and to worship him and declare his wonders to this generation and to the next generation. God is looking for warriors. Amen. God wants you to be a warrior. He wants you to rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to do great and mighty things for him. Look at David. He's a shepherd boy. But he says, I'm going to take out that Goliath. I'm going to take down that giant. And he was a warrior in his heart. Yes, he was a little shepherd boy of 15, 16, 17. But he said, I'm going to do this for the Lord. I come against you, Goliath, in the name of the Lord of hosts. What boldness. What incredible boldness he had. He stood up, even though his brothers were bigger and stronger. Even though Saul was taller, head and shoulders above everybody else. Little David said, I'm going to take you out. Friend, I have to say to you today, what are you going to take out in your life? What giants are there in your life? What giants do you need to take out? What giants are there in our society? There are many, many giants in our world today. Giant sins at work in our world today. There are sins that we could mention in our nation that we need to take out. What are you going to do to take out these giants? Maybe you've got some giants in your own life that you need to address and you need to bring down in the name of the Lord. Maybe you need to break some strongholds in your life. Maybe you've been wanting to do so much for the Lord, but you just feel like your hands are tied. You just feel like your passion for Jesus is not what it used to be. You just feel like your feet are tied. You can't go and do the things that you really want to do because the enemy has just closed you in. Friends, we serve a God who is a God of the breakthrough. Amen. He is the God who will burst forth and give you the breakthrough. He will remove your passivity. He will remove your lukewarmness. He will remove all the obstacles, all the barriers, all the boulders that are in front of you. He can smash them out of the way. But all he needs is a willing heart and somebody who says, yes, Lord, and somebody who is prepared to fight the good fight. And this is really important that in the book of Jude, we read there that we have to contend for the faith. There are many, many enemies in our land. There are many giants in our land that need to be brought down. We have to contend for the faith. You have to contend for the faith. You have to use the sword of the Spirit. You have to use the things that God has given you as weapons, just like David did. He went in with a natural weapon. He had to use the sling and the stone that God had given him. You have to use what you're familiar with. What is good for me is not good for you. What's good for you is not good for me. Because David couldn't put on Saul's armor. Amen. David couldn't put on his armor. He had to go with his little shepherd's bag, with his few stones and his few slings, because that's what he was familiar with. He was using what God had given him. What has God put in your hand? Do you have a sling? Do you have a few stones? Do you have a few gifts that the Lord could use? Do you have a few creative ideas, a few little things? What is a stone worth? It's not worth really anything. He went down to the brook. He chose five smooth stones. That's all he needed, was just something that was quite worthless, but in the hands of God, it was awesome. Those five little stones, they were awesome. That just took one of the five. One stone to take the giant out. And the Bible says, I come against you in the name of the Lord. He slung his stone. It hit Goliath on the forehead. It knocked him out. I don't think it killed him. It knocked him out. He was nearly 10 feet tall. He had to take him out. He cut off his head with his own sword. You see, something so small, so insignificant. God is going to use those little things in your life. He's going to use those creative ideas. He's going to use that poem or that song. He's going to use the things that you can make with your hands. But you have to put it in the hand of the master. You have to go against that lion, as David did, and against the bear. He fought the lion and the bear. It's got to go in stages in your life. You've got to be prepared to fight the good fight. You've got to run the race. You've got to keep the faith. So you have to fight for the faith. You have to stand up in your schools and say what's right and what's wrong. You have to stand up for the right principles, like marriage. The Bible says marriage should be honored by all. The Bible says that, you know, the kind of marriage that God is going to bless is between a man and a woman. When they are married, that is the kind of marriage that God's going to bless. Nothing else. Seems crazy, but God is very exclusive. If you want to be blessed, get married to a woman if you're a man, and a man if you're a woman. You know, you've got to follow the protocol of the Word of God. Follow the principles. That's the kind of marriage that God's going to bless. And so if you want the blessing, you've got to follow the principles that are in the Word of God. And you've got to do the things that God is calling you to do. So listen to what the Bible says. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro through all the earth. It's for somebody that God is looking for that is fully devoted to Him. I want to say to you today, friend, are you fully devoted to the Lord? What is distracting you from the Lord? What's pulling you away? Is it television? What's pulling you away? You know, David Wilkerson, who's now gone on to be with the Lord and who founded Teen Challenge, he said, there was a time in my life where I was distracted and television was a problem in my life. I don't know if it's television with you or whether it's food or some other problem or some other situation or something that's distracting you from the Lord, but you have to stay focused on Jesus. Amen. You have to stay focused on Jesus. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. That means you've got to look to the Lord. How do I find Jesus? You find Him in His Word. That's where Jesus is. He's in the Word, looking unto Jesus. So you stay in the Word of God. You keep reading the Word of God. You keep studying the Word of God. How do you look unto Jesus? You stay in the Word. You meditate in the Word. You focus on the Word. You focus on Jesus. He's in the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's in the Word. You'll find God in the Bible. You'll find God in the Scriptures. Look into the Bible. You will see Jesus on in every book of the Bible. He is manifested in every book of the Bible. Friends, God is calling you to a higher walk. God is calling you to to fly with eagles. He's calling you to fly with the Holy Spirit and see things that you've never seen before. Amen. to see things in the spirit. You know, we look at the prophets of God. We look at Jeremiah. We look at Isaiah. We look at Daniel and see the amazing insights and prophetic insights that God showed them. You think God is a respecter of persons? He's going to bless them, but he's not going to bless you. He wants to bless you with an abundance. Amen. He wants you to see new things in his word. David said, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. God is going to give you some insight into the future. He's going to show you some stuff that you've never seen before. He's going to bring a word of the Lord to you. And you need to seek out for, you know, even in Israel, it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. But praise God, we can hear the voice of God. Amen. We can hear what God wants to say. He wants to show you new things and reveal things to you today and in the future. But the Bible says he will reveal it to those who draw near to him. He will reveal it to those people who get close to him. The blessing of the Lord, the insight of the Lord is with those who are close to God. The closer you get to Jesus, the more information you get. The more good information he begins to pour into your mind and into your life. And he's going to give you prophetic words about your future. He's going to give you anointed and inspired words about your future and about other people's lives as well. So you have to flow in the Holy Spirit. Amen? You have to flow in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you've got to be filled with fire. So every day you say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me. Take away all the dross. Take away all the deadness. Take away all the things in my life that are displeasing to you. Lord, take away all the negative things and bring all the things of your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added to you. You see, when he says in Romans, that God, he who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him for us all, will he not freely give you all things? God is going to bring new things into your life. He's going to bring new friends into your life. He's going to bring new revelations into your life. He's going to bring blessing into your life. He's going to bring fresh hope into your life. He's going to give you encouragement because the Holy Spirit is the God of encouragement. Our God is the God of encouragement. He's going to encourage you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to lift you up. As you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, as your strength goes stronger and stronger, God is going to lift you up, strengthen you. You'll be mighty. You'll be strong on the inside. As the Bible says, you are to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You've got to put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, because we're in a real fight and a real warfare, and you've got to push forward, friend, and you've got to keep fighting, and you've got to keep piercing the darkness and keep pushing forward with the light. And God wants us to keep advancing his kingdom because he's got so much in store. He's holding everything together, but he wants you to get closer to him. He wants to reveal new things to you and show you amazing things, because our God is the great creator. He has wonderful things in store for you. And God needs to stretch us, friends. He needs to stretch us so that we can receive more. He needs to stretch us. He needs to expand our faith. He needs to increase our faith. He needs to do amazing things in our lives. And we've got to allow him to move. We've got to allow things to drop off and new things to come into your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to bring new things into your life? I believe he does. God is not a respecter of persons. How he blessed Elijah, how he blessed Daniel, how he blessed Jeremiah, how he blessed all the prophets. He wants to bless you. In fact, the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 1, I think it's 3 and 4, it says that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. In fact, the Bible says he has raised you up and seated you as a Christian with Christ. You're seated with him in the heavenly realms. You rule and you reign with Jesus Christ. You are victorious. You are a victor because of Christ in you. He is going to cause you to be victorious. He's going to cause you to overcome. You are in a fight, but you're going to win by the help of the Holy Spirit. You're going to win through the Word of God. You're going to win by other Christians surrounding you and supporting you and encouraging you. So wax strong in the Lord. Get stronger. Friends, this is a time of preparation. Right now, we're in a season of preparation. It's time out right now. It's time out because of the virus. But use this time to seek the Lord. The Bible says those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Even in famine, during the years of famine within Egypt, Israel was provided for. Because Joseph was there, God had set him in place. Even in times of lack, God is going to provide for you. God is the God of abundance. He's come to bring fruitfulness into your life. He's come to bring abundance into your life, to strengthen your faith and encourage you in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow your faith. Grow your faith. You've got to be expanded. You've got to increase. So is God for you? Absolutely. Is God against you? No way. Every Christian needs to know God is for me. God is fighting for me. God is a warrior. God will strengthen us. He will encourage us. And He is going to bless the church. But we have to do our part. If people say God is sovereign, if it's His will, it's going to happen. Well, yes, there is an element of truth to that. But there's also the element of truth on our part. We've got to do our part as well. God is sovereign, but every condition in the promises of God are conditional. Every promise is conditional. So we have to follow the principles. You know, the Bible says if you draw near to God, He's going to draw near to you. If you stay under His shadow, under His wings, He's going to protect you. So there's all of those promises. And so we just need to draw near to the Lord right now. Jesus is looking for a people who will fly His banner. Amen. And what does it say? His banner over me is love. His banner is victory. His banner is peace. His banner is love. His banner is truth. His banner is glory and greatness. This is a glorious kingdom that will never end. Friends, you know you are part of something that will never end. Jesus has overcome death. He is the resurrection and the life. He has overcome death for you. You're living in resurrection life. You need to overcome every obstacle. You need to become stronger and go forward in the name of the Lord. Christ is for you. He is not against you. Can you say amen to that? God is on our side. And He is the God of angel armies. He is the God who is the army of the church. He is leading this army. He's the captain of the host. And we are following Jesus. Friends, it's time to stand up and be counted. Prepare now for what God has tomorrow. Great things are in store for you. Prepare now. Get ready for the feast and the revival that God is going to bring. This is preparation time. Make sure you don't lose out on this time with all the distractions. Make sure you make time for God. And if you manage your time with God, He'll manage you. He'll look after you. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And all these other things are going to be added to you. So let's do that today, friends. And let us put God first in our lives. Maybe there are some listening today that you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. You need the life of God. You need the Holy Spirit in you. You need that river of God in you. You need Christ in your life. And the Bible says, today is the day when you can be saved. And just open up your heart right now. Say, yes, Lord, I need you. I don't know you like Pastor Keith is talking. I don't know you like these Christians know you. I don't know you, but I want to know you because you're the life giver. He who has the Son has life. Invite Him in today and say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want the gift of eternal life. I want to be with you in heaven one day. Invite Christ in, friend. And maybe You need to do that just right now with a simple prayer. Say, God, I do. I believe. I want you in my life. And invite him in. And maybe there are others who are far away from the Lord. Maybe you are just walking on the outskirts of where God wants you to be. Is that if you draw near to God right now, he will pull you closer. He will pull you back in. And I'm going to pray for both of you to be brought close right now to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you for everyone listening to the sound of my voice. I pray your blessing, Lord, upon all those who are listening. Father, I just pray that if there are those today who don't know you, that right now they'll open up their heart and say, Lord, please forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and he rose on the third day. Lord, I put my trust in Jesus. I accept him as Lord and Savior. Amen. And so, Father, I also pray for those who are on the outskirts, those who are not walking close with you, that, Father, you would pull them in, draw them into you. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you just pull them into your presence and shower them with your love, with your grace, and with your goodness. Pull them in and show them that your way is the best way, Father. Whatever needs it to go in their lives and you to bring the new things, I pray you'll bring them in now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for listening and joining with us today. Pray that you've been blessed with God's word. You can always connect with us through our website, Chippenham Christian Fellowship, or on Facebook at Chippenham Christian Fellowship. And we're just going to bring our gifts into the house of the Lord. And this is just the way that we've been doing it through this lockdown. And we're just going to give you an opportunity to give right now to the work of God here in Chippenham and to bring your gifts right now into the house of the Lord. So I just encourage you to do that now, whatever you've decided in your heart to bring as a gift, and just bring that gift right now. Father, we just want to thank you for our offerings this morning. We want to thank you for our gifts this morning. We bring them to you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to bless these gifts, Father, as we bring them now, Father, into the house of the Lord, as we bring them to you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to receive these gifts, Father. Lord, we thank you for those who've already given through direct debit or other ways, and ask your abundant blessing to come upon all those giving today, that your Holy Spirit of generosity will overtake them and bless them in every area of their lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. So also, those of you who are using the Giveit, you need to just go on to the church website, and you can scan the QR code there on the church website if you'd like to give through the Giveit. And there's a QR code that you can scan if you're giving that way through the Giveit. That's giv.t. Okay. Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for joining with us today. Have a wonderful day, and be blessed in Jesus' name.